This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We're going to spend a little time with Brad Young, our 97.1 FM Talk legal analyst. He's partnered with Harris Dow Fisher & Young. I asked you this off the air, and you know why I'm asking you this now, but you are not going to the Mizzou game tomorrow, correct, Brad?
Well, at this point, I'm not. My daughter is because she has a student pass, but I wasn't so lucky.
So I won't mention names, Steve Butts, just invited me to go up in an air-conditioned suite, and it's the latter part of that invite that intrigues me for tomorrow, even though, Sue, I proclaimed, it's not going to be that hot, right?
Uh-huh.
But sitting out there for 3 hours in a football game, well, 4 hours, but I might have to take him up on that invite, even though it's not, you know, the best matchup. Just getting to the Zoo would be fun, Brad. You didn't go last weekend, did you?
No, I didn't, but you should go, my friend. And if you don't go, tell Steve, I'm sorry, the unnamed person, that I will absolutely go.
I think I just got the green light from my wife, which is a good thing. Yeah, I'm trying to get up there next weekend. You know, next weekend's the South Carolina game. But you, as you know, these tickets are a lot harder to come by these days. And, you know, depending on what happens in the next 2 weeks, they win the next 2 weeks, then they become impossible to get because if you're off to, well, that would be a 4-0 start. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but that would be significant beating South Carolina. You know, you might, I guess they're ranked in the AP number 25. South Carolina's, I think, 11th, something around there. So it could
be
good.
They're between 10 and 15. So, yeah, if Mizzou wins this game tomorrow, they're obviously going to be going up in the polls.
Well, where do we start here with this Charlie Kirk stuff, Brad? Because this all happened just a couple of hours before my show on Wednesday, and I'm guessing you might have done and made the same mistake that I and many people listening didn't watch the video of what happened. And unfortunately, I did watch several angles. But obviously, there are a lot of repercussions. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of hate out there on the interwebs right now. I will say this. You know, I'm shocked the NFL has taken some time out to acknowledge the death. The Yankees did it at Yankee Stadium, and they had a moment of silence. So I don't know what the weekend portends, but you got the other side sounding like this right now.
I have about as much sympathy for Charlie Kirk right now as they do for all those farmers across the country who want socialist handouts from the government right now. This is a man who hated the LGBTQ community, who hated women's rights, who hated democracy.
It's a bunch of nonsense, but they keep spreading it.
Prayers and thoughts for Charlie Kirk. No, I have no prayers and thoughts for him left from all my prayers and thoughts for these innocent children who did nothing wrong. We're not sending out divisive, hateful messages. We're not saying that empathy is a problem with America.
So she is a professor, maybe a former professor right now in Denver, Colorado. Jimmy Kimmel said this last night.
Still trying to wrap our heads around
the senseless murder of the popular podcaster and conservative activist Charlie Kirk yesterday, whose death has amplified our anger, our differences. And I've seen a lot of extraordinarily vile responses to this from both sides of the political spectrum. Some people are cheering this, which is something I won't ever understand. And we had another school shooting yesterday in Colorado, the 100th one of the year. And with all these terrible things happening, you would think that our president would at least make an attempt to bring us together. But he didn't. President Obama did. President Biden did. Presidents Bush and Clinton did. President Trump did not. Instead, he blamed Democrats for their rhetoric.
So let's acknowledge a couple of things here. First of all, I 100% guarantee without hesitation that Jimmy Kimmel was cheering this on. I guarantee it. He might not have done it on his show. He might not have done it publicly. But I promise you he was cheering it on. Now, let's address the latter part of those comments. When we go back to, and a lot of people hated George W. Bush, not as much as this guy, but when we go back to a previous period when some of these things happened, including 25 years ago, you know, or 24 years ago, yesterday, 9/11, was the other side calling our side of the spectrum Nazis, a threat to democracy, dangerous? All this rhetoric that's been tossed out there for the past couple of years that led to two assassination attempts on a president, that led to a near assassination of a Supreme Court justice in Brett Kavanaugh. So I don't, this whole bringing people together when they are saying what they've said for years now about this administration, about people who happen to believe differently than them, I've got nothing for them. That's too bad, Jimmy Kimmel, because I don't think bringing people together when the other side feels that way is appropriate right now.
Well, it's not just a lot of these activists, Mark. I mean, consider this. In July of 2024, Joe Biden said it's time to put a bullseye on Trump.
Yeah.
And then not too long after that, he was shot in attempted assassination. But even the president at the time said it's time to put a bullseye on Donald Trump. Well, I don't think Jimmy Kimmel was coming out publicly and admonishing Joe Biden for saying that.
That's why this is so important. I said this on the roundtable. This is not the fringe is saying what the fringe is going to say. And there's crazy stuff. And what I played the audio of, that's the fringe. But the people that were in power, the president, the vice president, you know, Gavin Newsom, Hakeem Jeffries, who could be the Speaker of the House, they all have said the same things, and they continue to say the same things about a threat to democracy. So, you know, you wonder why someone can get radicalized like this so quickly when I still see people out there, you know, they always have to say, well, I don't cheer on anyone's death, but, you know, Charlie Kirk was full of hate. These are people that have no idea what he was about. They probably never even watched anything that he was doing when he was debating people on these campuses. They just are believing what they hear on TikTok and their other social media sources, and they're so beholden to the Alphabet Mafia that, of course, anyone like Charlie Kirk, especially if you believe in God, you hate all gay people.
Yeah, it's right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Comprehensible. And I'm sitting here thinking about all of the rhetoric we've heard, not only, as you've already pointed out, Mark, all of the claims of being Nazis and fascists and all that rhetoric, which is ridiculous, but also don't forget the today, the Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, back in 2020, said that the Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh would, quote, pay a price, unquote, for their decision. So this rhetoric isn't new.
No.
But I think what we're seeing is new is that people are literally dying from some of this rhetoric. And I just wish that the media elites and the politicians could be rather accurate when they try to claim that it's always on the right. It's not.
Okay, so this is and I address this angle on the roundtable as well. But this is interesting because now there's a New York Times piece that just went up a short time ago, and here's the headline. I want your opinion on this. Right wing activists urge followers to expose those celebrating Kirk killing. The widespread and fast moving campaign has already resulted in lost jobs, suspensions, and internal investigations, heightening tensions online between supporters and detractors of Charlie Kirk. Here's what I said, and I said this on the X, formerly Twitter, earlier, because I do have some issue with the cancel culture aspect of this, all right? But it's nuanced, and this is how it's nuanced. If you want to go out there and say hateful things and you're a, you know, someone who works at Starbucks or whatever, if the average nose ring wearing face tattooed lefty lunatic, especially in the Alphabet Mafia, wants to dance on his grave, go for it. But you're damn right I support cancel culture for teachers, professors, state representatives, elected officials in municipalities, medical professionals, members of the military, members of the Secret Service have been exposed with vile, hateful things. So do I want to cancel those people? Absolutely, I do. The average person, I don't think it's fair. But if you look at the websites that the New York Times is writing about, and wokeness and libs of TikTok, they are specifically going after people in the positions that I just mentioned, not your average radical lunatic. So I think there's a big difference. But now this is what the media wants to focus on. Now they want to focus on this.
Yeah, I didn't hear any howls of complaints from the New York Times when J.K. Rowling was being canceled because of her positions, or how about Gina Carano, who was part of the Star Wars universe? She got canceled. I mean, we can go through person after person after person.
Well, J.K. Rowling, by the way, if you look out there, there's people that are creating lists of who should be next, and J.K. Rowling's at the top of their list.
Yes, that's right. So to me, again, it's disingenuous for the New York Times to list all of these cancel culture things from people on the left who are being canceled, when, of course, when it happens that in areas that agree with the philosophical bent of the New York Times, all you hear from them are crickets.
You have Michael Mann, who's a climate nutjob out there at the University of Pennsylvania. He reposts a message referring to Kirk as the head of Trump's Hitler Youth. And Dave McCormick, who's the, you know, senator, along with John Fetterman, called it repulsive and asked the university to take immediate decisive action. What I can tell you is, based on this reporting in the New York Times and elsewhere, there are a lot of colleges and there are a lot of companies that are taking a look at some of these posts, and they are taking action in some cases.
Well, and that's true. And as I'm looking about this situation in particular with regard to Mr. Robinson, I forgot what's his first name. I'm drawing a blank here. But the guy who was arrested for shooting Charlie Kirk, for him,
well, I'm not using
multiple
his name.
Stories.
I'm not
using.
So
yeah,
there you
good.
So
good.
I haven't mentioned his name one time today. So I don't
good,
really
I
care.
Won't.
Yeah,
but I don't have his name in front of me here. But that's good. But anyway, the point being is this: if you read and dive into some of these stories, it states that he became radicalized over the past few years when in college. And I know from personal experience that when we send our kids to these so-called universities that are really just basically progressive or socialist indoctrination centers, these kinds of things happen. And I wish we could address that in terms of what's happening to our kids when we send them to college.
Well, I would agree with you. And, you know, so I've talked about this and I've referred to this several times, even though I was never able to play the audio. And I can't remember if I shared the audio with you of the journalism class at Mizzou the day after the election. Did I ever share that with you?
You did.
Yeah. Okay.
You did. You
so
shared that with me. Yeah.
There was a listener who shared this with me last December. It was from the day after the election. It was in a documentary film class at Mizzou. And the listener said, Mark, you got to hear this. This professor goes off. And I mean, in the first 30 seconds, he's like, capitalism is idiocy. And he goes on and on and on. Well, I get this audio. The dad who shared it with the person who shared it with me got freaked out and did not want me to use it on the air, so I didn't. I kept my word. I did play one part of it that was a story that a student told. But what I did then is I shared that audio with the dean of journalism at the University of Missouri and with Governor Kehoe. And when the dean, and David Kerpius is his name, and we became friendly, and, you know, we've exchanged messages since, but he got very stern with me because when I was pointing this out about what the professor was doing, it was vile. There were F-bombs, all these things. It was very anti-Trump. It was anti-American. He said very sternly, well, that's been dealt with, and that won't happen again. I didn't say this, but what I wanted to say to Dave Kerpius was, I don't believe that. And here's what I know to be true, that that's not the first time that that professor has done that, right? So the people that are being exposed online right now, they're just the dumb ones that are saying it out loud. I guarantee you that this is running so pervasive in academia in particular, because we've seen it time and time again. And it's hilarious to me that the New York Times, they've never done a story about radical left-wing lunatic professors who are pulling things from the alphabet mafia, you know, Bible to preach to their kids and the anti-Trump stuff in classes that have nothing to do with the topic or the course material at hand, that they want to do a story about right-wing activists urging people that are celebrating the death of this guy who was assassinated with a bullet to his neck with blood pouring out of it. They want to make a story of that? This is where the mainstream media is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. In this story in the Times, Brad, sorry, but I'm so pissed off about this. They got a guy from, you know, Notre Dame that says, well, we've never, you know, I've not seen something like this on social media in America really ever. It's a unique moment. Well, maybe it's a unique moment because so many left-wing people are celebrating this guy's death. And they're not being shy about it.
Right. Yeah. Libs of TikTok is one of my favorites on TikTok because it really exposes not just radical, but radical lunatic fringe out there that unfortunately on college campuses is not really all that fringe anymore.
Well, it's not, unfortunately. Let's talk about a couple other things, though, that are in the news right now. Let me take you back to, and I feel kind of bad that we didn't talk much about this, Irina Zarudzka, the young woman who was on the train. I mean, that story seems like it's way in the distant past, and it was just Tuesday we were still talking about it. It's another video, Brad, that unfortunately I watched, and you see this guy who's behind her in a hoodie. You can see him actually going onto this light rail car. She is just getting off work. She's on the train. She's kind of curled up looking at her phone, and he, you know, just stands up, takes a knife, slices her neck open. She doesn't even know what happened. I think that she's in shock. The people next to her don't really react. I'm still not sure what to make of that. A horrifying crime. But you know what was the news out of that was, you know, the crime wasn't the news, right? That the New York Times, right. The Washington Post, they didn't want to do that story. But what they wanted to do was they wanted to cover how the story was being covered by right-wing media and how some people in this country happened to be horrified by the fact that a young blonde girl who actually escaped the perils of Vladimir Putin because she lived in Ukraine and was here the last 2 years couldn't make it out of the United States because of a thug who sliced her throat on a train.
Yeah, how about just covering the fact that the crime was committed? No. The New York Times had to use it as an opportunity to bash conservatives in this country. And that's why basically reading the New York Times is not all that far from reading the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, well, exactly. John Deal is the former House Speaker of Missouri, and he was indicted yesterday. We talked about this on the roundtable, so let me get your opinion on this, because here's a guy who has been very successful. He's a pretty popular speaker. He kind of left the legislature in a cloud of uncertainty after a scandal with some notes to an intern. But then Hal Goldsmith, who's a guy at the U.S. Attorney's Office who focuses on, you know, public corruption. Brad, I heard about this a couple of days ago, and I was, you know, tipped that something was going to happen yesterday, and I started going out trying to find out, you know, who is being indicted. Well, John Deal, who has not been in the public eye for a long time, gets accused of stealing money on a COVID loan. There's about $400,000 involved. So he pleads guilty to all of this. They spell it out in the indictment. He admits to it. But the sentiment on the roundtable by Jeff Smith, who was a felon and served time in prison in a political scandal, Jane felt the same way, that there's going to be more to this, that Hal Goldsmith, Brad, a guy who looks at public corruption, isn't going after this guy because why would he even be on his radar? He's not in public life. But the John Deal may present someone a bigger fish, and that story might not be over at this point.
Exactly. You're 100% correct on that, Mark. And here's how we're going to know. Here's exactly how we're going to know. Whenever John Deal is sentenced, and by the way, in full disclosure, John Deal was a classmate of mine at St. Louis University Law School. In my class, I knew him in law school. Haven't talked to him in a while, obviously, but I needed to get that out there. But when we see him sentenced, which I think the sentencing is going to be in November or December.
I think it's December.
whenever he gets sentenced, if his sentence is at the low end of the sentencing guidelines, you're going to know for 100% certainty that he is going to be turning state's evidence on this case.
Right.
Because otherwise, because of the sheer amount of the money that he stole in COVID money, he would be sentenced at, so should be in the mid to high range on this. But if he gets at the low range or even below the low range, then you know there's a deal in the works.
Well, and apparently, and I didn't know this, James is the one who told me this on the roundtable, I guess he's paid the money back. So a lot of times, you know, you have fines that are associated with this and you have, you know, restitution. But I guess, you know, he's got money. Why he was doing this, it seems like he had a cash flow problem because he was paying off country club memberships and car payments and, you know, student tuition and all these things. I mean, he could have worn a wire on someone, and there could be somebody else out there that gets brought down. So that's going to be very fascinating, I think, to watch in the future. It kind of caught people off guard. I was surprised, Brad. Usually when I poke around on some sources, they know who's involved, and this one was kept really, really tight-lipped, really tight-lipped.
It really was. And that, again, goes to show that if Hal Goldsmith here was trying to make a public spectacle of it, then this would have been this would have been broadcast ahead of time. But the fact that it was all done secretly and then it was a package deal, that completely gives away the plan that there's bigger fish to fry here.
Let me ask one question here. Brad Young is with us tonight on the economy and see what you would say about this. So I have my dear friend in Las Vegas, Rick, who I visit, and, you know, it's kind of my second home out there. And I'll admit, because Sue will call me out on this if I don't admit, if you go back to March when the stock market was kind of, you know, tanking because of the tariff talk and we're looking at our 401ks, I was a bit of a panickin, right, Sue? You know that I was. But, and this is a true story, I told Rick, I said, look, I'm going to put this date, this was March 12th. So on March 12th, I set a little reminder for myself. I said, let's look at the stock market and where the economy is on September 12th. That's today. So the Dow on March 12th was at 41,350. Now, I didn't look at the close today. It was down a little bit today, but I think it was close to 46,000. 45,834 was the close. So all the losses have come back that were gone. And there are some questions about how strong the economy is. We don't know what the numbers for the third and fourth quarter are. And we also know that the Bureau of Labor Statistics really screwed up on some job figures. But don't you remember all of the doom and gloom? And there were people, and I pulled up stories even today from JP Morgan Chase and others saying, we're going into a recession this year and Trump's to blame because of the tariffs. Well, that's not happening.
Well, that's true. It's not happening. And I was also one of them. I'm going to freely admit that. I brag about when I call it right. I don't mind confessing when I call it wrong. I've always been a no tariff guy, free trader. And so when I looked at this, I too thought it would be disastrous for the economy. And that turned out not to be the case. And if you look at some of the economic trends that we're in right now, Mark, they're looking pretty well. I mean, yesterday in of itself, the stock market goes up 600 points. We're looking for a Fed cut on their interest rates.
Next week, probably, before, right?
But next week.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're going to see more investment in the economy. And the dollar is going trending downward, but economically that's a good thing because as the dollar goes down, it makes it more attractive to buy American goods compared to the price of foreign goods. So those are all good things. But here's really, I know we're short on time, but here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at how is the Supreme Court going to impact Trump's ability to collect tariffs? Because right now, as of today, the United States government has collected just shy of $200 billion with a B, dollars in tariff money. If that goes to offset and reduce our national debt, President Trump will be the will be the first president in history to ever actually reduce the national debt. And I'm really, really going to be watching the Supreme Court now.
Brad, enjoy your weekend, M-I-Z, and we'll talk next week probably.
All right, Z-O-U, buddy.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.